Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, March 1st, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 1, page 11 in Bill's story, starting with the fifth paragraph, beginning with, "That floored me," and we will be reading this one paragraph only, ending with, "He shouted great tidings." So we'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Peggy M. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Marilyn T., Robin P., and Melanie C. will be waiting in our wings. Our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M., and the share ID for yesterday's Thursday, February 28, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,606. That's 12606. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, March 1st, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,608. That's 12608. The OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous who still suffer. OA's primary purpose. Our OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Peggy M. to please read the steps of OA. Peggy? Peggy, star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. Number 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This is Peggy M., recovered today and so grateful for service. Thank you, Sherry. God bless.
Thank you, Peggy. Thank you for your service. And now we'll hear from Athena B. to hear the 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B., recovered in Northern California. Our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Athena. And thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic in the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 11, and that we're going to do paragraph 5 that begins with "That floored me," and only reading one paragraph ending with "He shouted great tidings." And let's see, so I just went blank. That's funny. So let's go ahead and get started here, and we're going to hear from Marilyn T. She's going to be our reader this morning. Marilyn?
Hi, Sherry. This is Marilyn T., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in the human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. That is just astounding. Actually, this is a lovely paragraph. And the first thing that caught my attention was floored. Just because I really want to understand all the words in this, floored is can be used as a verb or an adjective, and it stands for baffled or confused or being baffled or confused completely. And that's true. This is what opening this book did for me with my sponsor, and she knows who she is. And when I got into this book with her a little over a year ago in January, and we started reading this, it just opened a whole nother world for me. I was floored. I was fantastically floored. And it was true that I thought, you know, hey, it looks like religious people were right after all, you know. But what really struck me was there was something at work in a human heart that had done the impossible for me. There was something that took this program of OA and complete abstinence and working the 12 steps and living the 12 steps that took it from my head to my heart and gave me a whole new world. And it did change. My ideas of miracles were drastically revised right then. And I'm sure that Bill felt the same way when he sat across the table, you know, from Abby Thatcher and was looking at a miracle. And what this program can do for you, working the 12 steps in a very prescribed fashion, the first 103 pages, and working it as if your life depended on it, because doesn't it? It really does depend on it. And being able to set aside all prejudice and all condemnation, and being able to open your mind to the thought that your heart could be changed forever by something as simple as these 103 pages. We are a very complicated people. This is actually a very simple program, but we are so complicated and so fraught with frothy emotions. See, this is the interesting part for me. Once I put down the food, that was not what called me. What I work, my problem on a daily basis is frothy emotions. I have the frothy emotions. I'm the one who am easily irritable or discontent or disturbed. Every night I go to bed a recovered person. Every morning I wake up a compulsive eater and have to be recovered again by a spiritual fit program. I have to open my eyes, be grateful I opened my eyes, be thankful to my higher power, start praying on my knees that I have recovery one more day. And that all begins again every day. That is how this program works for me. Thank you so much for letting me share. I appreciate it. Thank you, Sherry.
And thank you, Marilyn, for getting us started. So again, we're now reading in Chapter 1, Bill's story. We're on page 11, paragraph 5, beginning with, "That floored me," reading through one paragraph only, ending in, "He shouted great tidings." And so who would like to share on this paragraph?
Jackie H.
Okay, I heard Jackie H.
Donna W.
Donna W.
Jez M.
Somebody very quiet in the background. Who was that, please?
Jez M.
Okay, two people are coming in. Was that Deb M?
D-E-Z, Dez.
Oh, Dez M?
Yes.
Okay, M as in Mary. Thanks, Dez. And who's after Dez?
Susan H.
Susan H. Okay, and let's take a couple more.
Liz
Emily.
T.
I heard Liz T. And who was after Liz?
Emily, can you hear me?
Emily.
Yeah.
Okay. And whoever we didn't get, was that Emily? What was the last initial, please, Emily?
L.
F as in Frank?
L as in Larry.
L as in Larry. Oh, boy, I was off there. Thank you, Emily. All right. So, and we'll get some more on the next round. So we've got Jackie H., Donna W., Des M., Susan H., Liz T., Emily L. Okay, Jackie, let's get going here this beautiful Friday morning, and Donna W. will follow after you. Jackie?
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Sherry. Thank you for Team Friday. Awesome. Jackie H. recovered in Colorado, and it's raining outside, but it's beautiful. Anyway, it's so great to be here. And this paragraph, here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. I have a little note down at the bottom. This, it must have triggered this one. I know this is in the big book. God will do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And yes, lots of miracles are happening here. I never, ever, ever believed that I could go through a day without binging, purging, dieting, thinking about what I was going to eat, thinking about what I wasn't going to eat, restricting. I've done that since I was 12, and I'm 71, so that's a long time. And went through times of abstinence, white knuckling it and being absolutely insane and crazy, and there was no peace, there was nothing that way that I feel today. So yes, what a miracle that I can get up and move and be in this place without the obsession of food. And when I put it down and got rid of my alcoholic foods, that was like the beginning for me. I had no idea that my body was craving that stuff. I knew it wasn't good for me and I knew it'd make me fat, but I had no idea about the physical craving until I came into vision in July. I know about that today, and I was able to put that down, get a sponsor, get through the steps, live the steps on a daily basis. But the other miracle, the real miracle for me, is my healing with my higher power. Because I didn't think religious people were so right after all. And I still have my reservations about that. But I certainly know that this is a spiritual malady. This is a spiritual solution. And today I have a higher power. You know, the miracle for me today is that I get to look in the mirror and not see this ugly person that I used to see in my spirit, right? I just felt like I was guilty about everything and that I deserved to be punished. And then I just projected that out on everybody else. And today I get to walk gently on this planet. Do I stumble and fall? Absolutely. When I struggle and I fall down, I get to ask God. I'll pass real quickly. I get to depend on the strength of my higher power. I got to resign as the authority of my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
And thank you, Jackie H. And Donna W., you're up, followed by Des M. Donna?
Good morning. Donna W. here, calling in from Palo Alto, California. I'm so grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. And just last night I was talking to my sponsor and we were saying how most people, when they lose weight, I don't know if it's just large amounts of weight, but most people lose weight. She was saying that only 5% of people keep it off after a year. And it was like, oh my God, that means I'm a miracle, because I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight release. And, you know, like, I can't do that on my own. And I might think, that I'm, then I must have superpowers over other people if I can keep my weight off. But I don't keep it off. God keeps it off. And it just makes me, it's really good to remember how many miracles I have in my life today, that I am in a healthy body size, that I am neutral with the food. It's a miracle that I have a loving relationship with my mother, that I'm happily married. I mean, there's a lot of miracles. And part of my disease is I'm so self-reliant. And I'm really working on relying on God in all my affairs. And, I felt I needed to be self-reliant to keep me safe. And I'm really doing my best to trust that God's going to keep me safe today, that I ask for God's care and protection with complete abandon today. And so then I can relax and take it easy. So I'm really working on that, and just starting to see it's not me just having a death grip on my life and making things happen. That if when I let go just a little bit, then I make some space for my higher power. And miracles can happen in my life, big and small. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna W. And Des M., you're followed up by Susan H. Des?
Hi, good morning. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. And I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning. I've heard so much good stuff already. And what really stuck out to me is human heart and miracles. Working this program and doing the steps rigorously and quickly with entire abstinence has really truly like brought about miracles in my life. And I just looked up miracle and it says it's not explicable by natural scientific laws, work of divine, I can't read the rest of my writing, I'm imperfect, but it's the work of the divine. And, you know, like my higher power right now is just working with me on being still and having that space for that divine thing to come into my life. And my relationship has grown so much. My food has become neutral, you know, and I'm able to really work on those character defects that are here and do 10 steps and just stay in my program. And that's a miracle. You know, I have this routine that I get to do. I get to, you know, on a daily basis, be in contact with other people trudging this road, to just be better humans and not having to be stuffing my face and thinking about my next meal is just such freedom. And I'm so grateful for these meetings being here and hearing everyone, you know, is just such a blessing. And I heard walk gently on this planet. And when I am in the food, I'm either, you know, just a confined little rock of a person that doesn't move except to get the next bite. And, or else I'm stomping my feet and like literally being in a tantrum. And today I get to like feel vulnerable, you know, go to God, go to my sponsor, go to fellows, do 10 steps, go to meetings. There's just so many things to do. And I'm grateful to be continually learning on this journey and grateful for your service. With that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Desmond. And Susan H., you're followed up by Liz T. Susan?
Good morning, Susan H., a compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm really blessed to be on the line, and I loved, I love the words, something working within my heart. I don't have the text right in front of me, but that really stood out to me that I think the word religious sometimes makes people feel separated from others, you know, with varying the religions out in the world. But there's something so simple and beautiful about something working within a human heart, and that every day I have a human heart, and those that I might not be in sync with, they have a human heart. And when I get to just step back and have clarity when I'm not in the food or not in the dieting, that I can just witness that miracle. And it's so small at first to see, and then as I practice the program, it grows. And it's this line in the meetings that help me get there, because I get to witness it in other people more easily than I see it within myself. And that helps me believe in the process. And, you know, it's a muscle to work. A heart is a muscle. And, you know, at first it's really hard to start. And then the more I work it, the more easily it is to see that miracle within myself and that miracle within others, which helps me connect. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Susan H. Liz T., you're followed up by Emily L. Liz?
Hi, good morning. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I guess what I was kind of zooming in on this morning was what others have already touched on, but something at work in a human heart that has done the impossible. And then that the word miracle is mentioned twice in this little paragraph. So what it brings up for me is, you know, the language of the heart. If someone comes to preach to me about something, my mind is probably going to snap shut, just like it did for Bill earlier in the story. But when someone comes to share what worked for them and reaches out their hand in a loving manner, my mind is more apt to be opened up. And I think what he's seeing here in Ebby is, you know, this was his old drinking buddy, and he was just floored by his appearance and his demeanor and this new internal rearrangement that Ebby was going through. And I believe at this point, Bill is still drunk. You know, he's between his step one and his step two, coming to believe. And that's what we do as recovered people now, as with carrying the message, is we become that hope for the still suffering. We're a walking, living example. And I need to remember that on a daily basis. Am I living in the problem or am I living in the solution? Am I working my step 10s, 11, and 12 so I can stay my channel clear so that I can be a positive message, or am I getting back into my self-pity and my character defects and bringing my mess to the meetings rather than my message? This is a good reminder for me. I gotta do my maintenance to enlarge my spiritual life. I need to do my 10 steps so I can be available and be helpful to people. And when it starts getting clogged up with resentments and fears and other character defects, I can tell it. I can tell it in my gut. And I know that I need to reach out and make an outreach call and do a 10 step and dig a little deeper into my step 11 and get out there and help others. If I start isolating again, feeling sorry for myself, I know the food eventually will become a step up, and that's death for me. That's a spiritual, emotional, and eventually a physical death. So every day is a step one. You know, it's at bottom of page 25. I'm at a crossroads. Am I going to accept spiritual help, or am I going to go back into oblivion? And it's that boils down to a pretty simple program. The language of the heart, you know, doctors, psychiatrists, trainers, nutritionists, they can all give their opinion and what we should be doing. But unless they're one of us, that being able to relate in and identify in as a recovered person, we have a unique role in the help of each other and others. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. And before we hear from Emily L., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 11 in Bill's story, paragraph 5, starting with "That floored me." We're reading through one paragraph only, and it ends in "He shouted great tidings." Emily, and I'll take some more names after Emily shares. Emily, go ahead, please. Star 1 to unmute, Emily. Emily L.?
Oh, sorry. I thought I was off mute. Now can you hear me?
We sure can, Emily. Go ahead, please.
All right. Thank you. So, this is a really wonderful paragraph, and just this message here and this book. I mean, it's such an interesting thing. I think about myself joining OA, and I absolutely did not believe this program was going to work. I truly just was willing to believe that maybe, sure, I'll be willing to believe there's a higher power that will restore me to sanity. But, you know, I was really doubtful, but I had that glimmer of willingness to believe it because I was hopeless. And that's really what was a miracle, was the fact that, you know, It slowly happened for me. It definitely wasn't a sudden thing, but all of a sudden I realized I was walking peacefully, and it definitely was something in the human heart. In my heart, I was constantly in my head all the time, worrying about food and people and obsessing about life and obsessing about, you know, and it was this spiritual change in me that I had never experienced, of calmness that working these steps helped me get to. And, you know, realizing that it wasn't the food itself was not the primary thing. It was actually my mind. You know, it was that my mind was the problem. Was where the illness resides, in my mind. And just being able to come to that realization and know that if I don't live a spiritual life, the reprieve that we get from this program goes away. And I will even share, recently I wasn't working my program and was kind of just lazy about it and didn't really, I was being selfish. And then the reprieve actually did get lifted, and I binged, which hasn't happened to me in a long time. So that was me realizing, you know, no matter how good things are, no matter how far along in this program of recovery we are, we have to stay vigilant, because this illness wants to kill us. So it is a spiritual program, and it is from a higher power. It's a miracle. But we have to stay, we can't just take it for granted. We have to continue that spiritual life, which is working the steps in the program and identifying when we're being selfish and all those, you know, lots of things, obviously, in the steps. So, very grateful today. I'm calling from New York, and I'm recovered this morning so far. I don't feel I have the reprieve. I feel that I have the reprieve. I don't feel the need to binge today, and that's because I am recommitted. I got on the lines. I'm working my steps, and today I am working a spiritual program. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Emily L. And so just reminding everybody, we're on page 11, fifth paragraph. And who would like to share? We're sharing on that one paragraph only.
Janice P.M.
Okay, I've got Janice P.M.
Bruce
Did
E.
Did I hear Bruce E.?
Yes.
Okay, got you, Bruce. Who is after Bruce?
Gina D.
Is that Gina?
Gina with a G, like giraffe.
Okay, Gina G. Thank you, Gina G. And who's after Gina G?
Kathy W.
Got you, Kathy W. Can take a couple more. Two more. I'll put myself in there last. Who would like to go before me? Got one more person. Got one more space here.
Okay.
I'll share. Beatrice.
Beatrice? Oh, hi there, Beatrice. Okay.
Hi.
Great. Was there somebody else?
Betsy K.
Betsy K. We'll see what we can do with you, Betsy K. I might give you my spot instead.
Oh, don't worry about it. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. So I have Janice P.M., Bruce E., Gina G., Kathy W., Beatrice O., Sherry K.B., and Betsy K. Let's go. All right, Janice, you're up, followed by Bruce
okay.
E. Thank you, Janice.
Well, and thank you, Sherry B. Sherry K.B., sorry about that. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, Janice P.M. We're on page 11, and we're just reading. I'm going to, because it's so simple here, but it's not so simple if you're just, if you're new. And remember now, Bill is resistant. He's resisting this God thing, this power thing. So he's going to persist. But what's happening here between step one and two is he just can't get over Ebby sitting across from him, proof that something has happened to him. And he didn't say some doctor did it. He experienced a solution. And that's what Ebby is bringing to Bill. But Bill is resisting. But now in this paragraph, he's opening up his mind somewhat. That's all we have to do when we come to step two. Of course, I thought I had it made because I believed in a God, but that wasn't good for me because I still played God. But what he's doing here that I can identify with is, and emphatically, guide my sponsors, you don't have to believe at this time, but be willing to believe. A lot of these beautiful shares that I hear, we've gone through the steps and we've gotten this result through the higher power, but he doesn't know this yet. Bill is just, some miracle is happening because, how could Ebby be sober? We drank like a fish. We went on airplanes, So he sees something. We hear something when we're on this line about people that this has happened, all the miracles after we've taken these steps. So this is where he's at. He has a willingness to believe. He's starting to get new ideas. He's starting to put aside his prejudices, the old beliefs of his grandfather and this sort of thing, which is a wonderful thing to happen to you. And this is the process that you and I and any newcomer will go through before we get this wonderful result. That's all you have to do. That's why I say it's so simple. Just be willing. Now, if you close your mind and you say, nope, I refuse to do that, then you go on your way and you'll be doing the same thing. But if you say, I think I'll try it. I'll ask, whoever Ebby asked to be willing to believe because it's here. It's the truth. He doesn't drink. So Ebby brought the solution, which is a higher power. He knew about the drinking, but Bill didn't have a solution. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice P.M. And Bruce E., you're followed by Gina G. Bruce.
Thank you. Bruce E. in Southwest Florida, recovering here. And that floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Well, see, growing up in a church and then turning my back on it for 30-some years and then looking back on it now, many of those people were right after all. I thought they were all, you know, they had just all missed it and didn't have it. I was the only one that had it, and I was trying to play God, and I found out that I couldn't play God. It didn't work. And my life became a mess trying to do it, live that way. And, it says here they begin to look as though religious people right after all. You know, that's right. Bill's thinking back on his life, his childhood, and maybe his experience at the Winchester Cathedral, and looking back now in my life and different times that I was in those kind of situations, that those people, many of them were right. Here's something at work in a human heart that had done the impossible. So if Bill sees that what he did was impossible, and the sunlight of spirit's coming in, he's wondering if he can do this too. Same with me. I see people recovered, doing well, and yeah, I bet I can do that too. Miracles were drastically revised right then. My ideas about miracles were revised. Never mind that I said a miracle directly across. So he saw a miracle in Abby, which he was. He saw a miracle in him. I'm having a miracle happening in my life by being abstinent. I think everybody on this line that's abstinent right now, which is probably most everybody, is having a miracle happening to them, whether you're recovered or just recently abstinent or been abstinent a long time. That's a miracle. You know, I could never do that. I couldn't keep myself abstinent and sober and off the food, being a food addict and always going back to the food and swearing I wouldn't do it again and then going back and then saying, I had lunch and now I won't eat anything till dinner, and an hour later I'm back into the food again. Well, that's craziness, and that's why we need a step two. But I needed a miracle, and I saw miracles happen in others, and I'm seeing miracles happen in me. It's awesome. So thanks for letting me be on the line, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce. And Gina G., you're up, followed by Kathy W. Gina?
Hi, this is Gina D. from New Jersey.
Oh, Gina, sorry about that, Gina.
Yeah. I am an overeater, and I am working on my recovery. I have long-term sobriety in another program, so I'm very familiar with this paragraph. I am also brand new to OA, and this paragraph is really resonating with me today, because when I read it, you know, it began to look as although the religious people were right after all. Here's something at work in the human heart. I've always kind of viewed the religious as the intellectual. I know what I'm supposed to do. I need to do what I'm supposed to do. But when you accept it in your heart, you know, that's spirituality to me, and it brings it to a completely different level. And for the first time ever on Tuesday, I was able to admit that I am powerless over food and that my life has become very unmanageable. And it's actually, for me, it's not about the weight, it's not about the food, it's about the obsession. And I can, over the years, I've been on very strict food plans and I have followed them successfully, but I've still been completely obsessed with food. And I can be lost in food and be obsessed with food. And I feel like this past Monday, intellectually in my head, I knew I have issues with food. But something happened in my heart and in my spirit on Tuesday where I was able to accept this at a completely different level. I only have one person who I have their phone number for who's in AA, so I would love to talk to some people after this meeting because I really need some more resources. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
And thank you, Gina. And if you stay on the meeting afterwards, you will get some sponsors' phone numbers. And if you leave your number, you will get some calls. So welcome, Gina. Kathy
thank
W.,
you.
You're up, followed by Beatrice O. Kathy? Kathy W., please star 1 to unmute. Kathy W.
Hello. Here.
Here you are. Okay.
Thank
ahead,
you. Okay. This is my first share, so I'm like
about to throw up, but it's okay. So I'm a newcomer, and I think reading this passage, I think the first share said the like real definition of floored. And I feel like that's where I'm at right now. I'm floored. But I guess for me, floored has two sides to it, like both kind of positive, negative, maybe a little like bittersweet. In my experience, like I feel hope and like I'm excited and I'm really happy to hear from my fellows. And like I go to our face-to-face meetings and I hear the promises and I'm so hungry for the recovery. Like I want it so bad. But then, I don't know, like a double-edged sword almost, like I feel jealous at times, like, and I want it like now, I want it yesterday. I want to hurry up and get it, but that's not how it works. Like I have to be patient and I have to actually do the work that everyone talks about, like follow the big book, follow what my sponsor says. And it's really hard sometimes to like stay hopeful and stick to the positive. So I guess I just want to say if like anyone else is feeling like that, like it's normal. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Kathy W. And Beatrice, though, you're followed up by me, Sherry KB. Beatrice?
Hi, this is Beatrice, recovered compulsive overeater from Los Gatos. Can I be heard?
And Beatrice, go ahead, please. Can you hear me?
Hello, this is Beatrice. Can I be heard?
I can hear you, Beatrice.
Oh, okay, great. So this is Beatrice, recovered compulsive overeater from Los Gatos, California. And so for me, I think when I got here, my heart was barren. And when I looked at other people and I saw the miracles, it was something like abstinence was something so elusive that I felt like I could never reach. And so I joined a lot of other versions of Overeaters Anonymous, and I don't need to go through the list. But what happened to me is I had periods of abstinence, of weighted marriages, meals, and no flour and no sugar. And in those other programs, while I was abstinent and thought I had abstinence, I guess, which I did technically from alcoholic foods, but I had kind of switched to addictions. I used to chew gum until I would bite my lip and I couldn't, and I still couldn't stop. I was shopping, I was working overtime, I had envy of others, I gossiped. And even though I had so, you know, I thought I had worked the steps, looking back now, I don't know ever think that I was really abstinent or really surrendered, in my opinion. You know, in hindsight, I can see where I was never really in an abstinence. I'm in recovery, I guess. And I always felt like I had a chokehold on my neck. So I don't know if my abstinence was, you know, based in fear. I was afraid to eat if I ate a crumb, I wouldn't be able to speak at a meeting and I would lose my abstinence. And so today I have neutrality. And I've been in a state of, why am I, my abstinence today is a miracle. And for the first time in decades, I feel neutral around the food. And it's a miracle. And I think, and people have asked me, what is different now than what it was like then? And, you know, I don't know. But what I do know is I was talking to a friend and she told me, you know, I had that kind of abstinence that you're talking about. And, okay, I'll finish up. And she says, you know, I ate a crumb and they took away my abstinence and I've never been able to regain that neutrality. So I don't know. I'm just grateful for where I'm at today and thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. And this is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I love this paragraph myself. And, you know, it talks about the miracles and the working in the human heart and something working there. And to me, it's my higher power. And, you know, it's I know that when I work the steps that, you know, I get divinely inspired by my higher power. And there's, you know, I've had some Ebbies in my life, and, you know, wanted to talk about a vision for you. One of the Ebbies to me has been this meeting, a vision for you. I happened on it in 2013, and I've been listening ever since. And, you know, we have so many people on this line that get the miracle through working the steps and getting a step guide and whatnot. And I'm just one of the many of the, I call it wild horses running up the canyon. I think that this group is a miracle for me. And I remember listening the first time wondering, where have you been all my life? And, you know, we have this, we're celebrating 2 years on the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, 2 years in February. And I know that A Vision for You has been around since 2012. We're going to be celebrating 7 years of miracles, and so can you. If you join us and get a step guide and work these steps, you will have miracles in your life as well. And with that, I pass. Betsy, you're up. Betsy K, star 110 mute, please.
Hi, this is Betsy from Colorado, recovered bulimic compulsive overeater. So in terms of like believing that God could relieve me, and Bill was starting to really get it, that he saw that Ebby had been relieved. I thought, okay, I believe in God. I had always believed in God, even though I was raised by an atheist father and more or less an agnostic mother. But my grandmother gave me a sense of God. The problem was I truly did not trust or believe that God believed in me until I could be perfect. I had a human idea that God would love me when I could be perfect, when I could do things perfectly, act perfectly, look perfectly, have my food be perfect, do the program perfectly, and then I would be worthy of God's love. And I heard people tell me differently. God loves you just the way you are. But it honestly took me years of working the program to truly believe in my heart and my soul that I am loved by God and I am worthy of God's miracles, worthy of the gift of abstinence, the gift of sobriety, whether or not I am a perfect person. And so that was one of my defects that I discovered working the steps, that I thought I was only worthy of love if I was perfect. So it's really a blessing today to be human and still know that God loves me and my humanness. And then I have an ability, a solution to get closer to God by not staying stuck in my defects through working the steps. And not having to wait till I'm perfect, because that was my whole life, was waiting till I was perfect so I could live. That was the restriction I put on myself. And today I live, and then hope that God, you know, I'm willing to keep letting God guide me, because you know, God will guide me in all of my decisions, including, you know, with all of my decisions around food and body and all of that. And then it helps to bounce that off other people too. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Betsy Kay. And that's about all the time we have today for sharing. Thank you so much for all your shares, wonderful shares. And I just wanted to thank Team Friday for their service. 12 Steps were by Peggy M., 12 Traditions by Athena B., Read of Our Text was Marilyn T., and Robin Jo P. will be reading page 164. And Melanie C. was our backup. And also, I want to say newcomer greeter is Leslie M., and Janice P.M. will do our announcements today. So thank you all for a wonderful meeting today. And now we will close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Melanie,
thank you.
Please read a vision for you, big book, as meant to be, suggestive only, and keep you until then. Melanie?
No, I think it's Robin P.
I'm sorry. I did say that. Sorry about that. Robin. Sorry. Hello.
That's
Robin.
Okay. No problem. It's Robin. It's
thank
Robin
you, Robin.
P.
Robin P.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, moving to a new house today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.